You're listening to the HRBB podcast with special guest Rob Fortier. Recording from our headquarters in Old Town Orange, welcome to the Hot Rod Five Boys podcast.
All right, Rob Fortier, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, you?
Good. You're actually on the first official Zoom HRBB podcast. So we're going to test this out. Yeah, it's just, as you know, we're all busy. You're not that far away, but it's busy schedules and it's hard to get people physically in here.
Right.
Get people on the phone. But this is cool. This is a little better than a phone call.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. So how's everything going?
I'm getting back to 100%, a little bit slowly, but I'm getting back there.
Yeah, because you had a little bit of neck surgery, right?
Yeah, I did. It was my third on my neck and my eighth on the spine altogether.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, it was kind of gnarly, but
past injuries or?
I'm my father's son. I was born with degenerative discs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sucks, man. Well, we're glad you're through it.
Yeah, me too.
Or getting through it.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, you know what? You're one of these guys that's just like, I was sitting there thinking like when I first met you, but it always seems like you've just kind of always been around, you know? So this is like educational for me as well. Like, where did we at first? I mean, because I'll let you start out, because right now you work with In the Garage Media, right?
Yep.
Which you got all Chevy performance, classic truck performance, modern rodding.
Absolutely. Yep.
Those are the three main books you got, right? So yeah, let's just fill it in, man. Because I remember you just back in the days. I mean, you tell me when it was, but it's going back to early street rodder, right?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this before we started this meeting. How old were you in 93?
I would have been 19.
Okay. I was 25 and I'd met Tom Vogley, who I'm sure you know pretty well.
Oh yeah, for sure. He was one of the OGs with my dad.
And yeah, I think that he used to be your neighbor in Cerritos and work with your dad, or?
No, you know what? I don't know how Tom met my dad, but Tom was one of the original guys along with like Bob Bowder and stuff that were working with my dad there at the Orange Avenue house.
Right. I thought they lived nearby some.
He did though. You know, he ended up, and I don't know if he started in that house, but he had a house in Stanton, like right diagonal from the hot rod shop. And that would have been probably 80. Yeah, you jump into. It would have been like late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, because Keith Russell ended up buying his house.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
So I met him, and it was in the summer of 93. And he brought me down. I was working for a graphic firm I was learning computer graphics. And it really wasn't my deal. I was into cars and stuff, and I was at a cruise night, and I ran into him. It was at Tuxie's in Riverside, and he had me come in for an interview, and I interviewed with him for Street Rodder Magazine. No experience, just I was an enthusiast, but I happened to own a 49 Ford two-door that was chopped, and I drove it to the interview, and he said that's what kind of sealed the deal. So he hired me as I wouldn't want to say an apprentice, but he took me on peanuts per hour. And I kind of learned the whole deal within the next year and became a staff editor.
Nice. And that was 93, right?
Yeah.
So then you were at, then, so you were at, how long were you at Street Rodder then?
Well, so I started on a Street Rodder, but they also had Custom Rodder. And that was my thing. I was into the customs. And Jerry Wiesner was the editor, but he was doing it by himself. And I kind of took it upon myself to do as much work as possible for Custom Rodder and kind of weasel my way into working with Jerry. I officially worked on Street Rodder for 5 years and then transitioned to Custom Rodder for another 5 years before I became an editor of that magazine. And I love that. But we had kind of a directional conflict of interest. Tom wanted to put in, you know, cars like Shazoom at the time. But
yeah.
Jerry was into the white wall traditional customs, which I was too, but I saw both the potential of both. But the magazine just didn't really find its way, and eventually it got killed. So I lasted on that for 5 years before Damon Lee took over, and he was the last editor before they got rid of it.
Because when did they get rid of Custom Rodder?
I'm trying to think of the year.
10 years ago?
No, way more than that.
Really? Yeah,
yeah,
10 years. More, I guess 10 years is nothing now.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I want to say at least 15.
Wow.
I took over Classic Trucks before I got my dream job of becoming the last editor of Rod and Custom.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because what and you know, I mean, you so you were there during you were there. I mean, the whole time you were there was all the like lo during all the consolidation years, right? And all the with all the publishers and all that
Everything. So
stuff.
I started when it was McMullen Argus. No, I'm sorry, McMullen Yee. Then 93, it was McMullen Yee Publishing. Kenny was still alive. Kenny died that same year. McMullen came back in. So I got to work with McMullen for about 6 months before he died, which was kind of neat, kind of weird at the same time. Did you ever have much experience with Tom?
Not at all. Not at all. I've heard stories, but
Yeah, they're all true, and they're probably worse than you heard. But it was an honor working for him. You know, he was the legend. I mean, without him, there's no street rodder, there's no hot bike, street trial, all that. Yeah, so I kind of owe my career a little bit to him. But yeah, I went through all the transitions from the first, the K3 Primedia, Source Interlink, all that stuff, the merger with Peterson, which was crazy. I was there for 20, over 20 years.
That's crazy. Yeah, because I mean, I kind of watched it from the outside, just being, being an advertiser, just watching it. I mean, some of those books, I mean, like even Truckin' Magazine just got to be, I don't know how many, what the page count was on that
Over
thing.
300. It was insane. That and
It was
Lowrider.
crazy.
Yeah, it was a catalog.
It was. And we sold to all the big like retailers in that thing. You had Autobahn Wholesale, Aftermarket Wholesale. Unfortunately, for a period of time, we sold to AIM Industries, Joe Morrow. But yeah, it was crazy. And then it just kind of, the internet just kind of took over a little bit. Yeah, I mean, a little bit, a lot of it, But yeah, no, I was just talking about how the internet just kind of just took everything over. And it's like, but it's still cool that you guys are still producing books because I still think there's a need to touch something in your hands and,
Well,
have a high quality book. The hardest part you have, right, is like keeping secrets. Like
yeah.
how,
Well, we beat the hardest part, and that was we started the worst time possible. We started in March of 2020, right when COVID was just exploding. But it turned out to be the best time because everyone's stuck at home and they had nothing to do but read. The magazines had just been killed. They killed all but three magazines at Motor Trend. So we had that advantage of like, okay, now's a perfect time. There's people that are hungry for that content in print. You know, we weren't starting fresh, even though we were. We just took over where they kind of left a gap and ran with it.
And I've noticed that with just some of the other stuff I'm into, whether it's biking or whatever hobbies, you see like these the books disappear or they become real cheap and the page count's low, but then there's still some high-end books and they're I mean they're these magazines are they're $20 a piece,
Right. That's
and they're coming out, bi-monthly or quarterly or what,
yeah.
So
Well, we weren't going to do a bi-month. Well, we started out bi-monthly, but our intention was to go monthly. And within 6 months, we did.
nice.
We're not looking back. I think all three titles are doing really good.
That's good, man.
Considering. Yeah.
So speaking of the current title, Classic Trucks, I mean, seems like well, my world, I mean, in your world, it's trucks, man,
It's
right?
huge. It's huge.
I just got back. We went to the C10 slowdown there up in Avila Beach, which is Avila Beach, for people that don't know, is about
How
what,
was that?
four. It was great.
I went last year.
It was my first time there. I've been hearing about it since they started at the Madonna Inn there in San Luis Obispo, but it was one of those things where it just popped up and I go, oh, because I had a couple customers that were going. So I just said, you know what? I had nothing going on and I just loaded up the truck and went up there. It was
It's a
cool.
good,
It's a great spot, man.
yeah,
Great
and
spot.
ton of trucks. I mean, it's got it all going on. I rode my bike up last year. And I loved it. I wish I could have gone this year, but it was just too soon since my surgery.
Yeah, it's a rad spot, and it's like it and on the podcast I talk a lot about Dinos, and it's like a vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's not like
Yeah.
a like Good Guys just does a good job at their shows, but that's like a car show, right?
It is. Yeah.
And even though this the C10 Slowdown, it's a truck show, but it's like a vibe. It was chill. It was like
Yeah.
we walked the whole golf course, and it's like it's interesting how it's laid out, but I mean it's right there. The weather couldn't have been better.
I saw the pictures. It looked really nice. It was
Dude,
last year. It's amazing.
and that Avila Beach, that wasn't even on my radar. I was like, Avila Beach, where's that? And I go, oh, it's right next to Pismo. That's right there, like 8 miles from San Luis Obispo.
I think this is me. I keep getting a notification now that I got unstable internet. The fuck?
Well, for what Spectrum charges me here, I shouldn't have any glitches,
I'm
dude.
gonna shut down my all my there. Hopefully it's better.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I think it's all right. It's picking up. There's a delay, and it's picking up where you leave off. So I don't think we're missing anything. It's just a little pause. But yeah, great show. One of my customers won for Square Body. He won Best in Show. Jesse Campillo, he
Okay.
bitchin' truck. Yeah, so that was cool. It was cool. I just went and talked to people. Just went and hung out and kind of spotted some people with my wheels and went and talked to them and it was fun. I'll go back. Are you going to be going to Dino's?
So we're filming a documentary on Dino's. I'll be there.
Nice. That's
Yeah.
cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that's yeah, right on, man. Because that there is some for people who don't know, there's some cool history with that Dino show,
So I guess I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but are you familiar with Ronnie Wetch, C10 Talk?
I've
Okay.
been on there.
So he's been to every single Dino's. I haven't. So I didn't feel it was right for me to host a documentary for something that I haven't been a part of since day one. So we're going to take advantage of him and his knowledge, and he's going to help me co-host that. We're going to do a full-on documentary on the show.
That's rad. When do you expect that to be available?
Well, we did the Triple Crown of Rodding documentary last year, which it went over really well. And I think they had that out within under a month. I mean,
That's rad.
Tim Foss's son, Ryan Foss, does the production, and he's really quick and good. So I'm looking forward to what he produces for this one.
That's super cool. 'Cause I mean, if you, it's humble beginnings with that Dino show.
Yeah.
And it just is just what it's grown into. But man,
Yes.
it just GM trucks are just ruling the world right now.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Because
And I think
it's bringing all the scenes together,
it is. And what's crazy is, there's not too many magazines out there anymore, but the ones that have competition are the truck ones, and that's me, and that's what I'm faced against. But there's still so much content, it's not that difficult. There's so many good trucks out there.
Oh, I mean, that show could easily be 4 days and you wouldn't see everything.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
And
crazy.
that's the one downside to me when I go to the booth, have a booth there, it's like it's hard for me to get around, to go see the show, but it's cool. I like it.
Yep. Are you going this year?
Yeah, I'm going this year.
Good.
Yeah, we're gonna have a booth there. And I think we're gonna have that right now, tentatively, we're gonna have that Hammer Time OBS Stephen Conyers truck. With
Okay.
the black, with the peach scallops on there, the turbo, our 22-inch TurboTex on
Yeah.
there. So that'll
Good.
be there. But yeah, no, it's fun, man. Like I said, it's like a vibe, man. It's cool. And I think doing it the right way, having the vendors pay for it, making it free to the public, to walk in. And it's cool. 'Cause, people are more inclined to buy a shirt and, spend money there if they can get the family. Because you go to Good Guy Show, good show, but you're still spending some good money to get your people in there,
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. It's a totally different, like you said, it's a different vibe. I'm not a big show guy. I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. I really don't like going to shows, but this is one I look forward to going to. There's,
I'm in the same boat, I mean, I grew up doing this stuff. I mean, I've been
yeah.
going to car shows since I was a little kid,
Yeah.
and then when you start working them and you start going across the country, it ends up being a grind.
Yeah.
But you know what? Man, I love talking to everybody. I get tired at the show, like just talking to people. Not tired in a bad way, a good tired,
Yeah, right. That's good.
So it's cool, man. But yeah, no, it's are you gonna be you you you're not a show guy, but I mean, we're going to Good Guys here in a month, so I'm gonna go up
Pleasanton.
there. Pleasanton, yeah. So
I
Pat
missed that
Kelly's.
show. I used to love that show when I was younger.
Yeah, you know what? It's coming up. Let me pull the calendar up. It's coming up on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of August.
End of August or toward the end?
Yeah, so we're taking Pat's F100 out there. And yeah, I'm gonna have a booth, display
Good.
some wheels, talk to some people, maybe sell some stuff.
Good.
Yeah, that's always been a good show. I mean, I've been going to that one since I was a kid. What did that originally end up being? Was that an NSRA event originally back in way back in the day?
I can't answer that one. I don't, knowing that I'm pretty sure Gary used to work for NSRA, and I want
Exactly.
to
That's
say
why
that there's, I think that's possible that that's one of the things that caused that rift was there was,
Yeah, Pleasanton's cool. It can get a little warm there in August, but it's a
Sure.
big show.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. This besides that and Dino's, I really don't have any more shows I'm going to go to throughout the year. I got invited to a couple shows that I'm going to attend throughout the country
What about
just to
Triple
go.
Crown? Are you going to that?
Man, I think we're only going to go as spectators.
Well, you got to go at least as a spectator.
Yeah, because it just, I don't know. We might take his truck out
It's the
there
other
if
show
it,
that I look forward to going to.
yeah, and people keep saying that, and I need to go. We're trying to figure it out to get Pat's truck out there. It's just we spent half of May on the road.
Oh, wow.
Just yeah.
I couldn't do it.
You know what? And we did it, and we went out to Scott's Hot Rods open house,
Good.
and we left the truck and trailer out there, flew back, and then a week and a half later, we flew back out and went to the Grand National F100 show.
Good. Yeah, I saw that.
That's a good show. And then we drove all the way back. So yeah, it was a lot. It was cool. But yeah, I think yeah. I mean, what do you see like as far? I mean, you know, you're not a show guy, but I mean, do you see more of these like? I don't know. I just maybe I'm just immersed in the truck world with the wheels and all that stuff.
Right.
But they're still big. They're still big. Like they still do back to the 50s, right?
There's so many Chevy only truck shows now. It's
It's
insane. And I
crazy.
think that they're all able to be successful, which says a lot about how many GM based trucks are out there. You know what I mean? Like
Oh,
if
it's
you try to do the
crazy.
same with Ford trucks, I don't think you'd be that successful, you know?
No, and that's the thing. That Grand National F100 show is a good show. If you're a
Yeah.
Ford truck guy, go to Pigeon Forge.
But it's got
It's
roots.
yeah. But there's 1,300 trucks there as opposed to
Right.
8,000.
Right.
And I don't know the final number at the C10 slowdown, but man, I gotta say there was at least 1,200, 1,500 car trucks.
Last year there was more than that. That golf
Was
course
there? Okay, then there must have
full.
been more. I
Yeah.
looked at I. We walked the whole thing, but then I was watching some of the cool drone footage that they put up, and they did some good job of showing the show and the beach and all that stuff.
Right.
Rad venue. That's the cool part. Well, and you know too, if you go back with Dino and all those guys and Ronnie and all those guys, they used to do the Morgan's Run thing for Del Mar.
Right.
But that was just a handful of guys. Like you're going back
Yeah.
10 years ago, they might only get I don't know, 20 guys in trucks coming from Arizona and going there and staying at Morgan's Run and then going to Good Guys,
Yep.
on the Saturday and then heading home. So
I miss those days.
it's cool. It is different, right, when you're working it as
It is.
opposed to just, you know.
I look forward to the opportunities to go to a show as a spectator, which is very, very, very rare.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, but I mean, you're still kind of working, right?
I try my best not to, but
But I mean, when we say working,
yeah,
we're
you run into
all
somebody you got to talk to about something magazine related. You know how it is.
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's not like you can wear a disguise and go hang out there. But yeah, the Triple Crown is so you're going to be a Triple Crown then.
Yeah, we're
Now,
sponsored that. Yeah, we got to.
you're sponsored that, and then do you guys? I mean, are do you? I noticed you guys have booths at a lot of these shows. I mean, how many shows are you hitting up where you guys have a booth?
We actually have our sub guy, our Carney Tom, who's out there, the free t-shirt guy,
Yeah.
peddling the subs, and he does a kick-ass job. I can't tell you how many shows he's contracted to do, but he's doing quite a bit. He's doing
Yeah.
well.
Well, that's cool, man. What trends are you excited to see? I mean, let's talk about trucks specifically. I
You
mean,
know
it
what's
seems like.
crazy? The trucks you got in the background, the smaller diameter wheels, going back to the 90s, I saw that you picked up that old Trader's truck and they're coming
Yeah, I was gonna take
back.
the
It's not my style. Did you catch me on that one?
So yeah, the Trader's Dually, like that stuff's not your style, but
It's not my style, but I love it. I mean, so when I want to talk about this earlier. When I started with the company, I became friends with Courtney Halliwell, and he kind of showed me the ropes. I never was into mini trucks. I'm still not into mini trucks, but I kind of got immersed in that whole mini truck, street truck, trucking world, and it means a lot to me. I knew a lot of the, it's I'm kind of attached to that, even though I'm not into it. So I love seeing it come back. That truck you mentioned before with the scallops, that kind of stuff. That's where I came from,
Oh yeah, and it's I've always been an OBS guy, and I
Yeah.
remember when I picked up that white and silver truck. God, it has to be 12 years ago, and it was just kind of like I always had it. I always hung out with people that were like, we never got away from those things, and it was like they're coming back, and they're coming back, and it's just like the C10 guys were, right? I
Yep.
mean, look at how cheap you could pick up a C10 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore. And but I mean, also too, you can't ignore the numbers. I mean, how many 73 to 87 GM trucks were built? Like a ton.
Oh, probably at least a million. I mean, geez,
It's a lot, man.
I did the research on the 67 to 72, and it was insane. The numbers, long beds versus short beds, there were so many produced. I had a guy that was busting my balls about cutting down long beds and short beds. I'm like, dude, there was almost a million built. They're out there. If you want to go
Yeah.
save one, go find one and save it. But hell, there's plenty to still cut down.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, it's totally cool. I mean, it's just trucks have always been there. And I mean, it's like, my dad always had the, you got work trucks, and even you customize the work trucks, and everyone had a truck. All the hot rod guys had trucks. You
Yep.
know,
Yep. They're
may
going to
not
have.
have been built to the level that they're being built now, but, and it's just the whole aftermarket is just, I mean, it's
It's good.
overwhelming.
It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for the hobby. It gives me, hope that we've still got some ways before that end of the tunnel, so to speak, as far as
Oh, for sure.
our careers go.
And I still feel like the OBS trucks are still haven't circled back around into their own. I think they're, when I
Yeah, I
got
agree.
that, yeah, when I got the dually, so we've been doing dually wheels. We're just getting that program off the ground, and it was like, I don't know, 3, 4 weeks ago. I was 3 weeks, whatever. I got that truck. I was just like on a Sunday night. I was just like, got a bug up my ass, and I was like, I need to find a dually. And I found that thing, and he only had a few pictures, and look, he was in Burbank, so I went up and I opened the door and I looked at the door sill plates, and it said Traders. And I said, hey, because the story was the guy, his buddy had it, he got it brand new, and he was using it in Arizona to haul his boat like 2 miles down to the boat ramp, and then he just got tired of it and he drove it back and he gave it to his friend he's known since he's 7 years old, and he said, here, you have it. I got a new truck. Do whatever you want with it. And the guy just had it for 6 months, and then he sold it to me. But then
Yeah, that's rad.
what got me on the thing was, like, I was looking at it and I said, hey, where did this thing he's all some truck shop in LA did it back brand new off the dealership. And I go, do you have the paperwork for it? He goes, I have it all. The guy had a whole stack of papers, like
That's
just
rad.
thick. And then later that night, he goes, hey, here's the receipt from when they did it. And it was a trader's receipt. And I've been talking to Tim Sasamian. He's a good friend of mine, and
Yeah.
he's been, for the longest time he pushed, because there's a lot of, just like Boyd, the Boyd's Wheels thing didn't end up so hot at a certain point. The trader's thing didn't end up hot at a certain point. So, these are kind of like for guys like my dad and Tim, it's like an ex-girlfriend kind of thing. Like, where it didn't end so well. But so many people remember all that stuff, and
Right.
now he's coming back around. Now he's all excited about it, and we're
Good.
gonna be doing a lot of stuff with him. And so I made the guy an offer, and I took the train up and got it the next day, because
Good.
I was like, man, there's more to this truck than just being a clean survivor
Yeah,
trader,
that's bitching.
yeah. So I was gonna take it to the slowdown, but it was just too much. I didn't have enough time to. I wanted to put the wheels on it and stuff, but. No, it's cool. I like that stuff, and I like the stuff
Right.
that's got a story behind it,
Yeah,
So
that's cool. That's really cool. I was stoked to see that.
yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not too stoked on the gas module on those
Good.
454s, right? Jeez. But nah, it's cool, man. And
Yeah,
it's just like it just reminds me of the, because back when that thing's what a 91. So I was graduating high school. I was watching my dad build all these things at the shop, They were pumping out a bunch of trucks every month from the shop. So it's cool. And now everybody's supporting it with all the everything. I mean, from,
it's
you know,
good.
I
It's
mean, we get
good all
stuck in
around.
California with not being able to do all the motor swaps too easy, but
Yeah, that's the one unfortunate part, but there are some ways to work around that legally.
yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like it. I like it, and I'm stoked that people are now, like, because in my background picture, that truck on the left, that's my buddy Trevor's truck.
Right.
He wanted to go 18s, and those are a soft lip version of our old Avenger wheel back in the 90s. And And the truck on my, this one right here,
Yep.
that was a green truck I just sold a few months ago. It's cool.
It is cool.
And yeah, I
Yeah.
like buying some of these survivor trucks and just updating the wheels and suspension on it, driving them around.
I regret not buying. Simo had the chop truck. Whose was that?
Yeah,
It
so
was 1500
well,
bucks.
it wasn't chopped when
No,
he
no,
could,
no.
so
Okay, you're right. It wasn't chopped yet. It had been stolen and it was gutted and it sat in front of his house. And he called me and goes, $1,500, come get it. I'm like, no. And then I saw when, who ended up with it? Was it Jesse?
okay, so it went from it was Dick Brogdon's truck,
Yeah.
and it was Dick Brogdon's truck, and he had low miles on it because he lived literally, God, it was not even a half a mile from the shop. So Simo bought it. When did Simo buy
Right.
that thing? Simo bought it in God, he would have bought it.
Late 90s,
No,
2000, okay.
because Dick and Melba moved to back to Illinois in like 2000 and 2001.
Okay.
And I think that's when he got it. And yeah, he had it for a while. And then yeah, he sold it to Jesse, right?
But it got stolen from him
Did it?
and it got gutted. Yeah, that's how I was able to, he offered
Oh
me
yeah. No, dude.
for
Yeah,
1500 bucks.
now. Yes. So, I remember that because Simo was working for us,
Yeah.
and what he did was, yeah, I remember that because it got stolen, and they found it in some yard in like South Central or something,
Yeah. Yeah.
and that was, I'm trying to think. He got it back, and then yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, then Jesse ended up getting it from him,
And then
right?
he took it to what's his
West,
face?
yeah, Ryan at West Coast,
Yeah.
and they chopped it, and because yeah, that was over when they were in Corona.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, that was interesting because I'll be honest with you, I didn't like the chop on it. They did like a reverse chop, or I don't know what you want to call it, right? But a lot of
Yeah, I'll
history
just
with
say I
that
like it better
truck.
before.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was cool. Because I mean, that was, I remember it was like when those trucks were first came out. Like some of the guys got them, and Dick Brogdon was one of the first ones. So they kind of messed around with, that was before any of the Belt-Tec lowering kits and all that stuff were all
Absolutely, yeah.
available. But yeah, no, I mean that. So did you have an opportunity to buy that one? You should have bought it off Simo.
1500 bucks, and I said no.
1500 bucks. Well, by that time, it would have been a stolen recovery. Did it have a salvage title on
I
it?
think
Probably.
so. I'm pretty sure the interior was gutted. The bones were there, and the fact that I love Dick and Melba. They were great people. I was really close with Dick, and it was kind of sentimental, but the same was just too much for me to deal with,
Yeah.
But I regret it. I mean, I should have kept it. It wouldn't have been chopped now.
Yeah. And where is it at now?
Who
Who
knows? I
knows?
don't know. I don't know what Jesse did with it after the fact.
Well, they're it's interesting because I follow a lot of groups on Facebook, and they're always and there's like a the guy that own the brothers that own the ZR1 pickup, like that's their whole thing. They're like trying to get their hands on all these old sport trucks. They came out here about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and they picked up some, I forget I don't know the whole history. You have to find you have to They post about it, but it had all graphics on it. It was right down the street in Orange.
Yeah.
Some 90-year-old guy had it, and they were trying to get it for a few months, and they ended up getting it. So,
There are so many trucks out there like that. I've had a couple opportunities to buy old cover trucks out here in Riverside, and these, maybe 10 years ago, and looking back, it's like shit, 10 grand for a truck that probably cost 75,000 to build. Should have done it.
yeah, well, that white and silver truck I bought, I got that thing at least 12 years ago, and I flew up. It was, God, I forget even how much I paid for it. I think back then I paid it. I thought was a, it was, I thought it was a good deal. Everyone told me, oh, it's a lot of money. And I was like, it was like 8,500 bucks, but it had like
No.
8,000 miles on it. And it had a Corvette rear end on it,
That's a steal.
Yeah. And it was cool. I liked it, but I mean, now, go try to build one like that with a Corvette rear end and all that stuff,
Can't do it.
But OBS stuff, I'm and it's cool, man. I like the fact that people are putting the retro series because that's what's period correct,
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes. I mean, I like I said, I still think they haven't come into their own. you know?
No, we got time, and then there's the next generations of trucks that follow. I think it's the future seems pretty bright.
I've been wanting to get my hands on a little S10 pickup too.
I think those are coming back.
Yeah, man, there's one down the street, but the guy won't sell it. I've posted it before. He's right down the street. It's a red one.
Right.
And yeah, no,
Square
it's
one.
yep.
Good.
Yeah, those are the, I think, in my opinion, those are the only ones I
The
have.
only ones that matter. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So what's besides trucks, I know you're into bikes,
Okay, you just
right?
froze up. Say it again.
I said besides trucks, I know you're into bikes.
So yeah, I started, Jordan Mastani.
I don't know.
He's the editor of Hot Bike. He brought back Hot Bike,
Oh, right on.
I think 2, 3 years ago, and I've been helping him with that on the side.
That's cool.
That's my other passion, of course, is Harleys.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
The Harleys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your other passion?
So yeah,
Yeah.
that's I the only way I can stay in Southern California and commute is on a bike. I do not have the patience to sit in a car on the freeway and go 30 miles in 2 hours. Can't do
Well, man, you got a lot more balls than I do because
it.
battling the LA traffic, man. Well, you're out in Riverside, right? What's
I
that?
would rather split lanes than sit and stop traffic.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's yeah, I've never really, I got into motorcycles a little bit, but not too much. And I mean, it was cool like when, Butera and Jesse were there,
Yep.
at the shop, and that was pretty cool.
There's some pretty cool bikes came out of that era. I mean, I wouldn't say that's my style, but if I had to choose any bikes from back then that I would want to own, Jesse's first bikes, Little John's, they're pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, those things are pretty rad.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll get calls every once in a while because we did. I don't know, and that's the thing is I don't know the exact numbers of what we did, but we pumped out a decent amount of billet motorcycle wheels. We had a
What
whole
was that?
motorcycles of what's that?
What was that called? Was it Metal Tattoos?
Yeah, metal tattoos.
Was that the name of it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's funny. You remember
I
that.
heard the other day, I'm like, there's no way that's what it was called.
Well, yeah, metal tattoos, dude. That's funny. Yeah,
And
no.
that's when Jesse was working with you and
Jesse and Simo. That's how I met Simo.
Okay.
Yeah,
Simo
so.
is a lasting impression. He's one of my best friends.
Yeah, no, Simo's a good dude, man. I had a lot of fun with that guy,
Yeah.
him and Jesse there. And I mean, looking back, I mean, it that really was a short period of time,
Yeah, it wasn't just a couple of years, right?
it really was only, yeah, I want to say, 'cause everything folded up in like the beginning of 98, and I think Jesse might have ended left in 97, So yeah, and then Simo came back to work for us for a few years when we started the wheel company back up when we were over in Anaheim.
Right. That's right.
So yeah, no, yeah, that was some good times. I haven't talked to Simo in a minute, but
He's doing good.
yeah, no, some crazy stories with Simo, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and Simo's just like also too, like I'm like this convergence of like music and stuff. Like, dude, that guy's the old school punk rock Orange County guy,
Absolutely.
and just hearing all those stories, and yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I met him at the Doll Hut when Jesse was working there back in the 80s.
That's funny. Yeah, I met my ex there, and we actually had our wedding party at the Doll Hut. So that was back.
Wow, that's crazy.
I met her there in 2000. Yeah, in 2000, and I think at that point, I think Linda was about to sell it. That's when Blue and Anthony bought it.
Yeah. Yes, I think 2000, because I moved from Orange in 2002. So yeah, 2000, 2001. Yeah.
Yeah, because we got
Those are
married
good
in two.
times.
We got married, man. There's so many different. I mean, and you know what? They still have decent bands playing there.
Yeah, I haven't been there since Blue and Anthony sold it. I don't know who they sold it to, but I haven't been there since.
Man, that was a hangout right there. I mean,
Absolutely.
so many bands. I mean, just have, and I know they got kind of went through the whole rockabilly thing and revival and all that stuff. That was all cool. But man, like all the local punk bands, a lot of big bands played there. And I mean, people, and when we talk about a hut, it's a hut, right? The doll hut
Yeah,
is a
the lights come on, you can see through the floor to the shit out of
yeah.
me. But it was crazy because,
Yeah.
it was such a dump. But I've seen Brian Setzer there.
That's rad.
I think Mike Ness did an impromptu little acoustic deal. Yeah, there are a bunch of guys who come through, and because it's such a famous landmark that they played there.
Yeah, and I forget who it was, but I mean, you'd be there on some random night, some band's playing, and here comes Kid Ramos
Yeah,
with on
yeah,
it on his motorcycle with his
yeah,
guitar on his back,
yeah.
and just rolling in, and he goes in, sits in on a set, and leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many good bands, a lot of good memories at that place, man.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just yeah, a lot of good times there. Just another piece of Orange County history. So for people that haven't been to the Doll Hut, you can still go there. It's small. It's right there off of, what do we say, the 5 freeway in Lincoln,
Lincoln,
in Anaheim, off of Manchester. Yeah, pretty cool, man. Yeah, no, being
Yeah, I'm glad to have been a part of that even for a little bit.
yeah, and it's crazy. It's just crazy of what that because that was another thing, convergence of just the car culture and the music culture, especially the revival of the whole rockabilly scene, you
Well,
know.
now that you bring it up, so if it wasn't for the Doll Hut, I don't think, well, I can tell you that I myself and Anthony would not have gone to Japan for the Moon Eyes show, because when he had his that grand opening, Shige came, and we were all drunk and we were out front, and I was being my typical smart ass self, and I said, "Hey, Shige, you need to take Anthony's brown neck bandito to Japan."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Okay." The next thing you know, we're all going to Japan. The shifters and myself are all going to Japan.
Is
Insane.
that when Greg went with you? My brother
Yeah,
Drew?
yeah. He was
Yeah.
part of that. Greg and Rudy. The most insane, the best memories of my life going to Japan for a week with those guys. And it was because we all were at the Doll Hut drunk talking.
Yeah, man, and Shige's a good
And
dude,
she was like,
man.
"Let's do it." And we did it.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's still one place I haven't been is Japan, and I haven't been to the Moon Eye show.
You got to go. It's at its it's I think it's at its peak, but I don't see it coming down. It's like it's
Really?
oh, it's huge. It's way
Well,
different than when I went the first time.
yeah, my brother's actually, Greg's been, I think, twice.
Yeah, he went with
He
the first
went,
2 years with me.
yeah, and then, well, he went with my dad in the
Oh,
90s.
that's right. He went before. He had already gone. So he's gone 3 times, I think.
Yeah, and I think, I want to say they had Cad. I think they brought Cadzilla over
They
there.
did. They did. Yeah.
Man, that's pretty rad. Yeah, we got to show pictures of that stuff. Yeah, I got
Yeah.
to get Greg. We got to get Greg on here to talk about this stuff too,
You
because
know
he
what?
was
I
right
was just
there.
thinking, with all these damn freeze-ups, I want to come down and sit down with you and get your brother.
Yeah, well, this was a good experiment. Yeah, you
Yeah.
know.
But I'd like to sit down with you and Greg, and I mean, shit, we've still got so much more we can talk about.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because you talk about the whole shifters thing, all that. I know they don't like calling it the rat rock culture, but it is what it is, right? The Viva, like the first, the like the Viva Las Vegas, the beginnings of that,
Yeah.
like that was crazy. I mean, and I know Viva Las Vegas turned into some really over the top show,
Yeah, that yeah, it's
but I mean, go back, man. I remember we, Greg and I, it was me and Mike Curtis in his 32 pickup.
Yep.
And there was at least between the shifters and everything, there were like 12 of us.
Okay.
Only about four or five cars made it. It
That
took
sounds
us
about right.
10 plus hours. I mean, everything, it was just a mess. Greg tried
Going
to go
anywhere
to,
with those guys, I've been to Paso with them in my roaster. If it's a 4 hour drive, plan on 10.
Yep.
Plan on
Yeah, it
have tools,
was.
have oil, have coolant, have all that shit, have a gas can.
Oh, and you know, a lot of it was just like really dumb small stuff. But then these guys would just, they would buy a vehicle. I remember Marky bought that El Camino. It was like a 59 or 60 El
Yeah,
Camino.
60.
Yeah, and he bought it, and he's like, "No, I'm gonna tow the Purple People Eater up there."
Yeah.
And we're at the last pass when you're coming from LA before, you go to state line and then you got to come down. He blew the tranny on the thing. And then it was like the only people that made it were Mike Curtis, Jeff Vauden, Vic. Their cars ran good. It was like an adventure. It was like, but man, yeah. And
That was
that's.
part of the deal, though. The breakdowns, the side of the road, shenanigans, that was all part of the deal. You didn't get
Right.
pissed off. You kind of expected it. You handled business and kept going, or you got flatbed at home. You know, either way.
Yeah, no, that was good times, man.
Yeah.
God, that was 23 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
20, 2000. Yeah, 2001, 2002. But
That's
yeah,
when I was still
it's come
rolling.
around, man. I mean, you know, that whole traditional hot rod thing, I think it's still out there, right? It's
It
still.
is. I don't. I think it's seen its heyday. But yeah, I mean, the majority of the shifters are still going strong. I see them, you
Yeah.
know, here and there and everywhere.
Well, and you know, just being over, but you know, when Greg and Anthony were living over at that shop over there in Anaheim,
Yeah.
I mean, a whole another set of adventures over there.
Oh, hell yeah. Those are
You
some good
know,
times.
Greg had that. Greg had it was like a hidden wall. You open up that metal cabinet, and was the door to his room. Like you wouldn't know the room was in there. Man,
Those are some
yeah.
good times. Orange County Rod and Custom.
Orange County, yep.
That was
Yeah.
Anthony's shop. And
That was fun, man. But that was
yeah.
also too when we were 20 years younger than we are now, man. We're, you know, because you're what, 5 years, 6 years older than me,
Say it again.
probably.
You, I froze up
I'm just
again.
saying how much older you are than me. You're 6 years older than me, I think. So,
5 or 6. Yeah, I just turned 57.
okay, yeah, 6 years. So, yeah, man, a lot of good stuff. Well, hey, we're still doing it. You know, it's just kind of with the wheel thing. There was a whole time where there was an anti-billet wheel sentiment going on, right? You know,
Yeah.
but I don't know. I think with all the new finishes and all that stuff, it's not everything's all shiny billet. It's, the whole Cerakote. I mean, because 20
Well,
in the
look at it this
night.
way. How many? I'll wait till I stop.
No, go ahead.
How? Look at it right now. How many white wall tire companies are there out there? There's one. They're a great company. Coker's the best in the world. But what does that say about the market? How many billet wheel companies are there now? You know, I mean, at the
Oh,
peak,
there's a
there was
lot.
probably 100, but now it's back down to, you know, good core element. But there's a ton.
There's a ton of wheel companies out. And but you know what? I mean, there's still the core of us that are still, I mean, I get along with all my, I guess they're competitors, but they're all my friends too, because we're the ones that have lasted, you know? And then there's also, it's like you got Mike Curtis. He started working for us. He's got his own wheel line. Mike Schott was at Budnick, worked for us, ran our machine shop. He's got a successful line, I do business with Colorado Custom. They're still around. It's cool. I just like to see all this
It
made.
is. It is.
It's tough because there's so many people making wheels out of China and stuff too, but I don't know. I think the people that are putting their money into this stuff, they appreciate the customer service and the quality and just the heritage of it all with American-made product, So, yeah, man. Yeah, I don't, well, it's curious to see where it's all going to go. I mean, I thought 15 years ago, I'm like, dude, people aren't going to want wheels anymore. Cars are going to be flying or whatever, And it's, I mean, if, you know, I mean, for every one person that has a Tesla that puts custom wheels on their Tesla, there's 5,000 of them that just, they look like toasters going down the road, They're just like appliances,
Well, I'm thankful that they kind of squashed that mandate. I think we still got some troubled waters to navigate through, but for all right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've been trying to get somebody from SEMA on to talk about, the Jay Leno bill, because I heard that they gutted that thing in the last couple weeks.
It's pretty bad. Basically, you're relegated to like 1,500 miles a year. It has to be registered as an antique vehicle. Have antique insurance. It's not, it's, yeah, like you said, it was gutted and it's sad because it's, man, it could have been so good for all of us and kept so many people in California.
Yeah,
But
I mean,
just all
it's tough.
bureaucracy, just.
It's tough because a lot of these vehicles. It's just, I don't know. Our government in the state sucks. They just it is They're giving the money to the wrong people, and we're watching industry, not just our industry, a lot of industries just kind of saying, "See ya." Look at In-N-Out just took off, right? In-N-Out's going to Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, I
I
wouldn't
mean,
mind going there.
and In-N-Out, right? In-N-Out, California and cars go together. So I don't know. We'll see where it all goes. But
We'll see.
well, hey, where can direct people to your social media, and where can they pick up your publications at?
So, inthegaragemedia.com, that's the hub for all three magazines: All Chevy Performance, Class Truck Performance, and Modern Riding. My Instagram is Class Truck Performance with a little underscore between Classic Truck and Performance. We also have a YouTube that's kind of picking up pretty good, which you can find through our website. And then we also do a Facebook, which I'm not the biggest fan of. I know you mentioned it earlier, but it kind of scares me.
What, Facebook?
Yeah. I got stalkers from high school on there.
Yeah, Facebook is a little weird. I like Instagram, Instagram, and then yeah, I like watching stuff. I'm glad you guys are doing more documentary on dinos and doing other stuff, because I think that kind of keeps people's attention, and it goes into more depth than just a picture or even a
Right.
podcast, you know?
Well, we're going to come talk to you when we're there, so be prepared.
Okay, well, I'll be there.
I know.
So, well, I appreciate the time you've given us here.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm hoping that this, I'm just realizing it, the video, is it going to be just me, the big picture of you? What do you see on your screen? 'Cause I don't even know what
You,
I'm
because
doing here.
you don't have it going back and forth, so it's just a little me and a big you.
Okay. Well then I got a big you and a little me.
Okay, so normally it goes back and forth, but I think that's going to work out all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what the output does on this
Hey, if
thing.
it
I don't
doesn't, like I
know.
said, I'll come down. I'd love to sit down with you
Yeah,
if you.
well, and we'll next time you're down here, we'll get, yeah, Greg needs to be in here for sure.
Yeah, we got a lot
I'm
to talk
like,
about.
I'm just one piece of this puzzle, man. Greg's got all kinds of
Well, he
stories
and
and
I got
shit.
some stories too, so.
All right, Rob, well, thank you
All
very
right.
much, man.
Thank you, sir.
And good luck, and then we'll be catching up with you at all these shows.
Okay, man, I appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Say bye.